Okay, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages. That's like going out to all the ships at sea, ships heading under the rocks, ships sailing in smooth water. Everybody's having a good time. Boats upside down, boats right side up. Everything, buddy, out there. If you're in a plane, train, or automobile, this is all going out to you, boys and girls. It's the Area Fishing Report. Fishing Frank in the chair here, and Robert in the chair across from me. Weekly Area Fishing Report. Now, keep in mind, this is goes along with the place-by-place fishing report that we have on the website. You can, if you want to know where any of these places are, just go in the place-by-place fishing report section, and you can click the name of any of those places, and a map comes up and shows you where the places are. Now, some of them, when you click them, will just take you to the Google map. It'll be zoomed in right to that spot. Other ones, there's pages and stuff and information about fishing. I don't have them all done, but I do have, I think, have them all linked, at least where you can find where the place is that we're talking about. So, we have a new store open in North Fort Myers. And that store, if you left Fish and Frank's here in Port Charlotte and you just make a right and stay right on 41 here, it's actually on Cleveland Ave in Fort Myers on the same road as this store is. Literally, you leave here, you turn right, you head south, and you turn into the store. From Pine Island Road, you got Pine Island Road, then you got the Itchy Bun Restaurant, the skating rink, some other stuff, and Northern Tool, and then the Engman Boat Dealership. And we are in the building of the Engman Boat Dealership. It's a... it's got a lot of tackle in there, and all of the regulars from here. You've got Kale on Monday, you've got Andrew on Tuesday, you got Mike on Wednesday, Vinny on Thursday, alternating crews on Friday, Saturdays is Jeff, and Sunday's an alternating crew day. And we're going to be at the Fort Myers Boat Show this week.
That should be a good time. You got a lot of stuff planned for that.
We've got a ton of factory reps. We've got a surprise for you. If you come down to the Fort Myers Boat Show and you just come up and say, hey guys, you know, Fish and Franks, do you got my 15% off discount card?
I mean, that's not much of a surprise.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured I'd cut through the suspense. We had some holiday cards made up. Because let's face it, between the wind, the weather, everything that went on this year, it hasn't been a great year, and election years are always so bad, and this one was just, oh my god. So, you know, things are a little hard out there for people. So you can come down to the Fort Myers Boat Show and just walk up, say hi guys, and you know, hey, you know, like Fish and Franks, and can I get my discount card? Now, that card is good either in the Fort Myers store location or the Port Charlotte location. You can use it at either one. It's good for one purchase, you know, one card, and, you know, you've got to turn it in to, you know, get it for your purchase, unless you want to keep it just because Santa Claus is so good looking, and then we just, you know, mark it through with a marker. But, you know, there's a really cool looking Santa Claus. Okay, other than that, on with the Area Fishing Report. We got Robert there. Let's start up on the Peace River, and... places that we do have mapped out on the Peace River are the Harbor Heights Park, Sansucci Trestle, Liverpool, Chester Roberts Park, Paddy F. Pier, Darst Boat Ramp. These are all places along the river that you can go. We're going to be adding more spots to it very, very soon. And
I think you can add any more spots than that on the river, can you?
Oh, yeah. We still we got to get the navigator up there, and there's a few other places. I got to go back up river, but like the water treatment plant. I love catching fish there. I want to put that
on.
I want to do the Fort Ogden Trestle. I want to get up to the Narrows and Horse Creek and, you know, Aaron Lake, Iron Lake, Hancock Lake, same place, three different names. Who would have thought?
Greenbacks.
What's that?
Greenbacks.
Yeah. So, you know, I got a lot of places just on the Peace River to add this year. But if my health holds out, and, you know, last year I kind of fell apart, didn't have anybody take my place, so the shows have all suffered, fishing reports have suffered. But I am working with Andrew, teaching him how to do all this stuff. Robert can't see the computer. I mean, he's like twice as smart as I am. If he could see this, he'd be able to do it easy. But
we could fit a 60-inch monitor on there.
Yeah, I've got a 50-inch plasma. I'll put it on here. If you want to run this, I'll put my 50-inch plasma right here. You know, I got one at the house I don't use anymore, you know.
I'll let you know in a couple weeks.
All right. So
I'm going to try to experiment and learn.
Really?
Yeah, I bought a little laptop. I'm going to try to set it. Vinny's going to help me set it up on my TV and see if I can see it.
Okay.
I got to learn. I need to know this stuff.
Okay, so I'm not kidding. I mean, you pick the size monitor. I will put it in here for you, buddy. If you can take over running the show, in case I get sick again or fall down or, you know, help, I finally can't get up, you know, that's me. So, anyway, let's go to Peace River.
Peace River. fishing's actually starting to pick up a little bit up there. That was nice.
Yeah.
Fire.
Al Qaeda went after my nicotine there. Poof. Okay.
A lot of little red.
This is the one place they never want to come to. Right. Remember the other day somebody said something and it was like, I mean, it's like a darn militia out there. I thought I was a redneck. Man, I hired a lot of rednecks.
Yes, you did.
I mean, we've got Cubans, we've got Anglo-Saxons, we've got African-Americans, we've got men, we've got women, we've got disabled, we've got, I mean, this has got to be the most eclectic group that ever just hung out one spot. I think their only common denominator is me and their personal arsenals. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. All right. Anyway, they all have licenses, by the way, boys and girls. They're all licensed professionals. All right. Peace River. It's getting better up there. We got to that. Hey, we're getting there, boys. We're getting there. Come on. It ain't my fault.
The redfish are starting to move up in there pretty good. Most of them are on the smaller side, but I'm getting some mixed reports of some actual, like, 24, 25-inch fish. Most of them are being caught under the bushes. The guys that are doing the best are working on a shrimp very slow under the bushes on either a jig head or a small split shot and just kind of letting it stay stationary and just slowly jigging it along or walking it along the bottom. They're catching quite a few small snook mixed in with those. Handful of guys are starting to pick up a few snook up there at the Shell Creek Dam. The bigger fish that are being caught up there, though, are the guys that are actually slow trolling from the railroad trestle there,
right,
up to the dam, and they're just slow trolling the small bombers, the 14 series bombers, and doing very well on them. Not a ton of big fish, but every day I seem to get more reports from everybody. Even with this weather finally breaking this past weekend, guys are still playing around up there and getting excited.
Well, you know, when it's blowing 25 miles an hour, if your boat's on a trailer or if you're anywhere around the mouth of the Peace River, you know, the Peace River, Shell Creek is a gorgeous ride.
No, it's beautiful.
I've taken you up there many times, and it's a beautiful ride, and you control the whole thing for a snook, a 15 bomber, a storm twitch, a Rapala X-Rap 08 or a 10, and there's fish, and it's gorgeous scenery. It's very relaxing, and you'll have a ball up there.
Yeah. I mean, right, the amount of wildlife you see is awesome.
All right. Unless you actually have family you want to show wildlife
to. Well,
that's
true, too.
Then they all hide.
That's always okay. How that works.
41 Bridge. What's going on?
From between 75 and 41 Bridge, there's been some schools of ladyfish and some jacks. But as you get closer to the 41 Bridge, there's been snook at night, quite a few juvenile tarpon. I've had a couple reports of some black drum. Friday night we had the wind kind of shifted directions a little bit, and a couple guys were talking about catching some Spanish mackerel right there off the bridge itself. So it's starting to make some changes, hearing of some whiting, little miscellaneous stuff. You know, it's kind of like this time of year, that water temperature is dropping, so every day we're getting a little bit more and more positive reports.
Cool.
It's not too bad at all. And, you know, there again, the weather's laying down. It's getting beautiful out there, so.
Right.
Easier to maneuver around all those bumpers and everything else.
Anybody starting to do anything in Lash Lake Pier?
that's still been kind of quiet, and I'm not sure why. Hearing of a few snook, mostly on the small side, but the day fishing, the guys are going other places lately.
Now, I've been looking on our website, fishingfranks.com, the weather and tide page, the one that looks like a storm, you know, has the lightning on it and everything. You go down to the bottom of that page and click the Peace River. What's important to know there is when it says 2 feet or less in Arcadia, the river's actually shallower than that downstream coming to us. So once it's under 2 feet, there's almost no water coming at us. There's 224 cubic feet a second coming down right now. You got to times that by 6 to get a gallon, or the gallons. But what's neat about that, and once it hits 1.5 feet, there's really going to be negligible. Even right now, it's just not enough to darken up the harbor.
Yeah,
the harbor's really getting measurable. Clearer and clearer by the day. It's amazing. I would have thought Lashley, with so little water coming down that Peace River, should be lighting up and doing great.
Should be. I think the only thing that's going on is just that the water temperature has been so sporadically warm, and there's been such an influx of glass minnows, some small greenbacks, and everything else down on that east side that those fish just haven't had to move yet. You know, they got enough food source to keep them pretty fat.
They're just not coming up here yet.
Yeah, that would be the only possibility that I can come up with.
All right, what about Bayshore? That's right over in the Port Charlotte side. You got Lashley on the south end of the 41 Bridge. On the north end, well, that's actually on the southeast side. And then Bayshore over by the northeast corner, northwest corner. What's going on Bayshore?
Bayshore, there's been some guys catching some whiting there in the mornings. I've heard of a couple short trout. And then at night, I've been hearing of a few snook, but mostly short ones. right over there at Banana Bay.
Yeah. You know, there's actually some really nice people over there at Banana Bay.
Yeah, they are real nice.
The people that run that Banana Bay, they are some real, real sweet people. They're real nice. I mean,
The son and mother run it, I think.
Yeah, the mother and son. And, you know, every time they come in, they're just really so pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, them and the people down at the one right across the bridge over there, the Hurricane Charlie.
Yeah, Hurricane Charlie. I can't remember the name of the hotel.
It was the old Hall. No, it's the one when you go over the bridge, not the Best Western, but you go over the bridge, and then as you're coming back up north, it's the one on the left there, isn't it? That.
Oh, is it Sheridan?
Yeah, whatever that is. Isn't that the one they're at, right between the two bridges? Yeah, they're at the one right between the two bridges.
Who is?
The guy who comes up here all the time from down there.
Oh, yeah. It's
the big guy.
Four points,
that's it.
4 points. He's awesome. He's so nice.
They're just such nice people. I mean, we've got some...
We're pretty lucky to have a lot of good little neighbors around here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big hotel.
Yeah.
Big hotel. They got this massive bar outside. It's all tiki hutted and... It's really cool, and I don't get out much, boys and girls. And with my health, I haven't been able to, you know, get around and see stuff. But I think the name of the bar is Hurricane Charlie's.
That's
the other one.
Tiki Hut is what that's called.
They're the Tiki Hut.
Yep.
I don't remember which one's which.
Hurricanes is on the right-hand side at the base of the bridge.
Okay.
Southbound.
So they're the one right in between the two bridges. As you're coming from Punta Gorda North, they're on the left. You mean,
correct.
You know, if you don't go on the bridge, turn left, you turn in their parking lot. Super nice people. The other hotel is nice people, too. They just don't come in here as much, you know. They're not as big of fisher people as what the people at the Four Points are. I mean,
they're a little quieter.
Could be quieter, but, you know, they're right there in the water. They should have more people there that fish.
Yeah.
But they're super nice. But the people at Banana Bay, which is a little tiny hotel on the north end of the bridge off Bayshore Road, and then the people at the Four Points, those people are big into fishing. They really kind of go out of their way for the whole thing. And then I don't know what the name of that other one is either. You know, you would think I would know, but believe it or not, boys and girls, these hotels have all changed names and changed names and changed names because of hurricanes or economic things or being bought out or sold. I remember what the names were in the 70s.
Right.
The Four Points was the Howard Johnsons.
Right.
Because the bridge would go up, the fuse would blow, and if they had, they always went to Fort Myers, bought two fuses. So the bridge would go up, they'd blow the fuse, they'd put the fuse in, then the bridge would go up and down and for whatever. And then this is long before the big bridges were put in, back when it was a drawbridge. And then I'd, for some reason or other, I'd be in Punta Gorda, and you'd come back and the bridge is up and it's stuck there, and somebody's driving to Fort Myers to get two more fuses. Yeah. They'd only buy them two at a time.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't buy another one. You would think, you blow one, you go to Fort Myers and buy two more.
Right.
So that you never ran out. No, they would blow the one and have the extra put it in. And when that one blew, somebody would drive down to get two more. So you sit at the Howard Johnson's and eat ice cream and sit and watch. And when you saw the bridge start to move, you'd walk back out to your car, get in and come back across the bridge, you know. But that's the way life used to be. Okay, Bayshore Pier, we talk about some whiting and some trout.
And there's been a few snook there in the evening, but it's been relatively quiet. There again, I think that water temperature's still got to come down a little bit more.
All right. Well, then let's talk about the Port Charlotte canals. Port Charlotte Beach, the canals, what's going on there?
I've actually had a couple good reports off the beach complex this week. A couple guys have caught some redfish right off the pier itself. Another guy caught a couple right there at the boat ramp. And then there's also been a lot of little snook around from the boat ramp all the way around the point up to the pier itself. They're building some kind of new docks down there, I saw the other day when we went down there to boat. Yeah, kind of, you know, when you pull into the parking lot and they got the parking lot on the right-hand side.
Where the bay is there.
Yeah, they're building, it looks like some kind of docks or something over there.
Well, they probably figured out that they're missing out and they want to charge people to keep boats there.
Possibly. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there, but it's some
kind of... It's Charlotte County. Oh, wait a minute. We could be making 10 cents off this. Doesn't matter if it costs $200,000 to build and it's going to take 30 years to get their money back. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then they complain because... somebody puts a sign up. Okay. Anyway. All right. Moving along to the Myakka River area. Eljabeen Pier specifically.
Eljabeen's been starting to pick up a little bit more, too. Some of the resident sheep's head, you know, there's none moving up yet in good numbers, but the resident fish are starting to move around there, and guys are catching a few extras. And then some nicer mangrove snapper. I've heard of a couple legal-sized trout, but more small ones. And then the night fishing for snook has really started to ramp up this past week. A couple oversized fish, couple slot-sized fish, whole lot of little peanuts. And guys are doing best on those, honestly, on like the 5- and 6-inch swim baits and just working them real nice and slow along the shadow lines, especially on that outgoing tide. The few guys that are fishing under the bridge on the west side at night have been pitching the that new Rapala, the little twitching mullet or swimming mullet, the one with the stupid name that looks nothing like a mullet.
Yeah,
the new single hook guy.
It's the twitching mullet, and it's the dumbest name for it because it doesn't look anything like a mullet.
No, it looks like a goldfish.
Now, mind you, one of the best friends I have in life, one of the people I've known longer and like better than, you know, I mean, we played guitar together for years. We played in bands all the way back in the 70s. We're great friends. He's from Minneapolis. I have a lot of respect for the people. But what the heck was he thinking? He's in Minneapolis and he's naming lures for Florida. The man has never seen a frickin' mullet in his life.
Google.
He just thought it sounded good. I mean, this is Rapala we're talking about. Rapala. Are you kidding me? Some of the greatest lures on the planet come from Rapala Rapala. And they have a reputation for being amazing, astounding lures, reasonable prices. And we have a lure that looks like a threadfin or a greenback, some type of white bait, and they call it a mullet.
Yep.
I was so disappointed. Remember when he was down here? I'm like, did you bump your head?
Yeah.
I said, what'd you do, walk into a door and say, oh, yeah, you know, you're sitting there, you're all goofy, loopy, and, you know, dizzy from just smacking your head in the door and say, yeah, I'm going to call that a mullet.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Just goofy, my God. You know, they know better.
Yes, right. Yes, they do.
All right, getting around to the Myakka, anything in the cutoff, Tippy Canoe Bay, the 14-foot hole, cattle dock, anywhere else like that?
Tippy Canoe Bay and the north end of the Myakka cutoff is starting to see quite a few redfish moving in there. and a good assortment of snook, but mostly on the smaller side, but still bending the rod. You know, the rest of the areas at 14-foot hole, I haven't heard much about. And over at Cattle Dock, honestly, I haven't heard anything at all.
Okay, anything in the cutoff?
A few snook, but nothing gangbusters yet. I think all that little fry that we had all last week, you know, swimming around the harbors, just kind of kept them at bay. We are going to see this little cold front coming through. I know it's a minor cold front, but it might help drop that temperature another degree or two, which should start to push some of those fish up inside there and get a little bit more productive.
All right, South Gulf Cove, what's going on back behind the locks?
Crickets. Honestly, we've sold quite a few shiners for guys going in there going bass fishing, but they haven't called me back to give me any feedback. I don't understand it. I mean, they bought a bunch of shiners Thursday and Friday, but they never called me back to let me know how well they did. I know the previous week it was but this week, not so much. We need more reports from out there. That's what we really need.
Okay. West Wall.
That's starting to get lit up like a Christmas tree. You probably can't miss it right now with all the guides that are out there. Some people caught on to Carl's banner week last week, so I've heard.
I heard he had he caught 70 redfish on one charter and over 100 on another charter.
Uh-huh.
And so the idiot posted it on Facebook.
No.
He was having days of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 redfish he was catching on a single charter.
110 to be exact.
110.
Uh-huh.
And went to brag about it on Facebook.
Yes.
The west side of the harbor is so covered up with boats, I'll bet you can step one to the other.
I wouldn't want to take that bet.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't he understand that when you're having those kind of days, it's kind of like being a baseball player. You know, you're wearing a pair of socks that when you pull them up, the elastic's a little torn, mm-hmm. and you have a no-hitter. Well, you won't even wash those socks. You put them there, and then you put them back on exactly the same pair, exactly the same way. If your belt was over to the left a little bit and it was one notch too tight, these are the things you're going to do every time. The fans, they get, you know, like that commercial where they get in the car where everybody's got to sit here because that's where we were the last time we won, you know.
Yeah.
And keep your mouth shut until the streak is going slow.
Right, exactly.
You know, you call your regular customers. What I would do when I got hot on the fish, I didn't tell anybody, except I would call a bunch of my regulars and say, hey, guys, I'm having 50, 60 snook a trip charters right now.
Right.
I'm catching 30, 40 redfish charters right now. Do you want in on this? You know, people right. that I knew fished a lot and stuff.
Right.
And I told them, but I didn't tell the world about it.
I know.
You know? Oh, my goodness. But now, remember Beer Bower Bayou? We're going to get to that. And we had Blake, who was one of my dearest friends. But he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he pretty much told, like, two other captains how and where he was catching all these fish. It was on Mangrove Point or Whorehouse Point. It depends upon, you know, where you grew up and how you pronounce Mangrove Point. I mean, how they got one or the other, I have still no idea. And there was still no house of ill repute there. But local names get weird. But he was saying, as the tide comes up and that water starts coming up over the bar, the redfish would move up in with the tide, and you had to be sitting that second or third trough, and these fish would move in. And all of a sudden, there was 10, 12 captains sitting there waiting for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, 10 or 12 of them, easy some days.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all fighting over that same school of fish.
Yeah.
And I can remember going there with my customers saying, okay, guys, this is what these guys are doing. Now, do you want to stay here and get amongst all this craziness? Or, you know, and we'll probably catch 6, 8, 10 redfish, you know, while we're here, or we can go back over here, a place I know, and there's nobody there. Now, we're probably only going to catch 4 to 6 redfish. What do you want to do? 4 to 6 reds. Let's get out of here. Okay. Vroom, vroom, and off we go. I mean,
exactly.
I loved my customers. They were exact same mind frame as me. Boat to boat, bumper to bumper, or, all right, we'll catch a little less fish and not see anybody all day.
I'm with that 100%.
They used to love that about me. I knew where to hide. And we'd catch a little less fish. Sometimes we caught a lot more. I mean, and we never knew. I pulled in one spot, pulled in a corner, anchored up, fished this creek. We caught so many fish that day. It was unbelievable. And it was a spot I would have never guessed to be that good. So you just never knew. And we were literally hiding from all the other boats.
Right.
So, all right. This is one of the hot spots on the west side. Redfish.
Yep, redfish. There are some snook over there because they are starting to move up the wall, kind of heading their way up towards the Myakka. There's even been a handful of trout and a couple pompano right there outside on the flat there. So there are other fish along with all the chaos that's going on over there. But you are going to be fighting a lot of boat traffic and a lot of "this is my spot and you're too close to me" crap.
You know, I've been discussing that. A whole thing I was doing on Facebook and Twitter and all these other ones, and guys were saying, well, you need to write articles about proper etiquette on the flat, you know, and you need to do this about what people should do out there. And so I went back to each one of them and I said, okay, how close is too close and how far away is far away enough?
And every one of them had a totally different answer.
What we basically figured out was two cast. Because one guy came up with two casts, and that's what I've always said. The problem is how far guys think they can cast.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. They come in here. I cast 100 yards all the time.
What? 100 yards? It's a football field.
What, do you got a carp rod?
Yeah. You literally, if you cast 100 feet, you did a really good cast. Most casts are 60 feet.
Right.
If you've got a good rod and reel, 60 feet's a good cast.
I mean, what's an average size lot? 80 by 120?
Yeah.
Can you cast from your front street to the back of your property line? No.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, and therein lies the problem on the water. Pretty much most everybody involved on Twitter, Facebook, and all this, when we got into these conversations, you know, typing back and forth, was that when I asked them, you know, how far, most of the guys said, well, that's a really good point. I didn't really think of it that way. I said, because you got to figure, if somebody grows up in the Northeast, New England, even Ohio and some of these places, they have huge populations of people, very limited areas to go fishing in, and so people are used to being a lot closer.
Right.
To them, it's the normal. It's not... They're not doing anything bad, but let's say they're
not being malicious.
They're not being malicious. They're just used to fishing 25, 30 feet apart.
Right.
We're down here, we think 150, 200 feet apart. The personal space issue. What is your personal space when you're in South Florida versus your personal space, say, in Hudson Bay or, you know, I forget the name of the river that comes out in New York. But when you have these rivers up there and stuff, and you've got millions of people living in a very small area, and on a nice weekend they all go out to fish, well, they're used to being much closer than we are.
Right.
We're used to being much more spread out. It's about personal comfort zone, personal space. And it's defined differently if you live in a city than if you live in a smaller town versus a more rural area. When you're dealing with people from the real country, you know, farmers, ranchers and stuff, their personal space is about an arm length away.
Right.
Maybe two arm lengths. Unless they know you well. You get any closer than that, they're going to back you up.
Yeah.
You know, you'll take a step forward, they'll take a step back, because, you know, it's just the way it is.
Right.
When I lived out in the very rural, I was a cowboy for a time, actual real cowboy. And, other jobs that I've had, coal mining and uranium mining and all these other things, you learn what people's personal space is. But then when I worked more office positions, city positions, personal space is if you touch someone or not.
Right.
I mean, you can be, you know, within a foot of somebody, and it's considered normal because that's the way these people deal with each other, because they're so close together all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a big issue on the flats.
It is.
So anyway, I rambled too much. Sorry. Okay, West Wall, we've decided there's a ton of redfish over there, some snook, and some pompano on the bar. We're going to get on to Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes, there's actually been a lot more pompano down there. It seems like they've been a little bit more consistent on pretty much the entire flat. There's also been a few trout mixed in there with them, an oddball incidental flounder, incidental bonnethead shark. And then as you moved more towards, I guess, the west side, the Boca Grande side of it, where that trough starts to drop off, there's been some Spanish cruising around there. A couple baby bull sharks even being caught there. Kind of a mixed bag. You know, it's worth stopping at and fishing fairly thoroughly for a short period of time and see what picks up. You know, it's not by any means going to be your best stop of the day necessarily, but been pretty good. I like it.
You know, okay.
This high water, because that wind switched directions. We got this super moon going on. I think that's
all
really
right.
Kind of...
Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on over there?
That's actually gotten a lot of good feedback, too. There's a ton of trout inside Turtle Bay. Out on all those open grass flats. Most of them are on the smaller side, but bending a rod and having a good time. A few incidental bigger oversized redfish have been being caught mixed in with those trout. And then if you work the shoreline in that very back northern corner, I guess there's been quite a few redfish over in there. And then as you work your way over towards the Eagle's Nest or the cut there going towards Bull Bay, there's snook moving in and out throughout that whole vicinity. So it's definitely getting more and more productive without a doubt. And Bull Bay kind of seems to be the same kind of image going on there, just a few less trout that I'm hearing about. But redfish, snook scattered everywhere. The only thing I haven't heard about, which is a little strange this week, is right there at the cutoff or the cut going into Bull Bay. Usually you hear a lot of good reports of the snapper on the left side and around those shacks.
Right.
Haven't gotten any of that feedback this week.
That's usually, to me, that's my trout fishing spots. I usually don't go there for snapper. If I'm going to go snapper, I'll go back to the houseboats in the back. I'll go up underneath some of the shacks. But I've never really fished that much for snapper in the entrances. Cape Hayes Reef, by the way, we didn't want to forget that.
Cape Hayes Reef, mostly the only thing I've heard about has been some Spanish mackerel. One legal gag I heard off of it this past week. Other than that, it's been fairly quiet. You know, I'm sure it's going to get better, but... nothing to jump up and down about yet. You know, that's typical of Cape Hayes Reef. It's that feast or famine thing on that reef. I like it a lot, but you got to find a little bit of structure and get just right there. Plus, a lot of people use it for a runway as they're cutting in and out.
What's up, Austin?
How much is it to rent rods? Is it $5 a day or $10 a day?
They have to put, in order to rent those fishing poles... you just hang on just a second. Wait. Okay, that was a big question about rod rentals and how to do deposits and all that. We rent a lot of rods. They're mostly inexpensive combos, but it's enough to get somebody fishing, and we charge a whole $5 a day to do it. You get for $5, you get the rod with a ready rig on it, and then we get a deposit. And then you pay for the rental. And if, like, today's Monday, if you bring it back anytime tomorrow, there's no charge. If you bring them back Wednesday, you owe another $5 per rod. We try to be fair. We want people to have fun. But right. I never used to charge a deposit till somebody ran off with six of my rods.
Right, exactly.
So now, you know.
You have to be fair.
Yeah. You know, it's at least $30 or more, depending upon the combo. And, you know. And you got to pay for the rental fee up front. You know, I never charged a deposit. I always just figured it back. One day somebody didn't bring back six combos. I was like, really? Yeah, what kind of scumbag was that? So, all right, didn't bankrupt me, but, you know, to put that kind of blemish on their own personal...
Right.
I mean...
Just mess it up for everybody. And
yeah, for a couple of bucks like that, why would you do that to your own personal... The inside of your head.
Right.
It makes no sense to me. It's not worth it even a little bit. Okay. Gasparilla sound on the tailing flats.
You're not going to like this.
Okay.
Spotty red tide throughout there. Literally from Devilfish up to Little Pass.
I'm not as surprised as you think, because I get updates about the red tide. Mm-hmm. You know, the state sends me updates all the time.
Right.
And it was low to moderate concentration of red tide. Right. Three different areas in Charlotte County.
Right. I figured you'd know that, but I've had several phone calls today with floating fish and dying fish today. I started hearing about it Friday evening with bait dying in people's live wells, but there was dead eels, some pinfish, a couple redfish.
Problem is, it's very shallow water,
yeah.
And it does not take a lot of red tide
not much
to time. Go from the surface down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Therein lies the problem. And, you know, the sad part about it is you see this big snook or this big redfish. That's not the problem, boys and girls. That's not the problem. That big snook or that big redfish have already spawned. They've already done what they needed to do in life. It's the ones that are half an inch long, a quarter inch long, 2 inches long, 3 inches long, 6 inches long that are not going to grow up to be that fish. That's the big problem. Because for that one big fish, there's probably... 500 little fish that you're not going to see just laying dead on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Every bit of that.
Every bit of 500. So,
and a lot of those little fish don't have a big enough air bladder in them.
Right.
Or swim bladder in them to float. So it's amazing what you don't see sometimes if it's not right there in front of you. So I don't think it's heavy enough to really mess up the fishing, but it is definitely making people a little bit more cautious, I guess. You know, unfortunately.
Okay, and absolutely no catch and release fishing in this area.
No.
If you're fishing anywhere along that red tide, Placida, down to Devilfish, where there are sporadic red tide places, do not catch and release. If you're going out there to get dinner, get your fish for dinner, take it home, all good. But going out there to have fun means you've killed that fish.
Yeah.
Fish fight hard coming back in, and they're already oxygen deprived, and then you put them back in the water and they just can't get their breath back and they are going to die. It is not fair to the fish. Not this is it. Flat, don't do it.
Right.
This is, you know, we are not the people who take advantage of something and go out and knowingly are going to kill stuff that has no chance to survive. So if you're going to get your dinner, there's no problem going to Gasparilla Sound. If the fish bites the hook, hits the lure, eats the bait, fights a little bit coming in, it's absolutely fine to eat. Don't pick up a floating dead fish and go to eat it, because I said red tide didn't poison the fish.
Right.
But use a little common sense. But, you know, and it's not the worst of all things if there is red tide there. You know, you're going to be coughing a little bit and everything. But if you catch a couple fish there... I'd much rather see you eat the fish and not let it go to waste. Right. But if you're going to go there, catch and release, that's cruel and unusual, do not do it, because those fish will not survive the catch and release process. Go over to Bull Bay, come up into the harbor. There's absolutely no red tide in the harbor. There's a gazillion and 10 redfish on the west wall. Spend $8 extra in gas and go to a place where the fish will survive. You know, 98% of those fish are going to survive the catch and release system. This is the proper thing to do. But if you're too damn cheap to spend a little bit extra gas and go around where there is no red tide to do your catch and release fishing, stay the heck off the water. We don't want you out there.
Ever.
Ever. I'm sorry. I don't want you as a customer. I don't want you on the water out here. We have too many decent people who do. I don't mean to be blunt. But, you know, we all know me, boys and girls. I love my customers. I absolutely look forward to the people that come in here. They are the best part of my day. But this is the truth. We cannot catch and release in red tide areas. It's not fair to the fish. I believe in fishermen's rights. the right of people to go out, and maybe not the right, the privilege, to be able to go out and catch fish and relax and have a good day. We do it the best we can, and that's not the best we can. So I'm sorry. I get a little upset about it. I shouldn't. I should be more diplomatic, but I'm not. Don't damn do it. So, anyway, Placida Pier, Placida Trestle.
Kind of the same thing going on. I mean, there's the guys have been catching some sheep's head there, a few mangrove snapper, even been some snook at night. But because of some of the residual fish floating around, it's kind of making people a little on the skeptical side, I guess would be the right word for that. It is deeper water there. It's moving in and out real quick because of this strong moon and the strong tides that we're having. I personally wouldn't be too concerned about it, but...
Well, that's the difference, though.
It's deeper water.
Here we're dealing with deeper water. And if you're fishing on the bottom in 10, 12, 15, 20 feet of water, much less likely that red tide's down there.
Right.
Those fish are below that red tide. It tries to float near to the surface. It gets down further, and the more agitated the water becomes, it gets more mixed in with a lot of wind. We don't have the wind right now. It wants to stay more up by the surface. And
needs the sun.
What's that?
It needs the sun.
Yeah, it needs the sun. It wants to grow and bloom, and like every other creature on the planet, it needs to bloom and multiply and do all that kind of stuff. This is an area where if you're, you know, like sheephead fishing, bottom fishing in that deeper water, you can catch and release a fish.
Right.
Because when you put him back, he's going to shoot right down below that red tide.
Right.
And this is okay to do. These are things that you have to look at what the environment is, what the...
Well,
association for everything
exactly.
Is.
Exactly. It's all very, very shallow in that other location.
It's too shallow. There's no getting away from the red tide.
Right.
That's why I was so adamant about that. But, you know, once you get up, as you're saying, 15, 20 feet of water, it's fine. They're going to go right past that red tide, shoot down there. They're going to live. It's all good. Catch and release, catch and eat dinner, whatever your little heart feels like.
Right.
Certain times you can do it, and that's really good. Certain times we just shouldn't. Okay. Anyway, moving on. What's going on in Lemon Bay? Anybody, is there red tide up there?
I've heard of little tiny patches of it, but no major fish kills that I'm hearing of, except for just basically people's bait that they've been catching and they're throwing in their live well. The docks on the east side, basically the mainland side, has had a lot of snook on it, a few redfish, hearing of some incidental trout, you know. Overall, I haven't heard a lot inside Lemon Bay other than those handful of docks right there on that east side. A lot of boat traffic going in and out, but I think it was the first real nice weekend. Everyone kind of went offshore, you know, which we'll get to in a minute. But, you know, Lemon Bay has been good. I wouldn't say great, just good. Just because of the hodgepodge of reports more than anything else.
Okay. What's going on at Tom Amon's Bridge?
The only thing I've heard about has been some snook fishermen at night. A lot of little short fish, but a couple keeper fish being caught off of it, especially on that incoming tide where they can kind of cast from the anchor pier over towards the bridge itself. Guys have been doing real good there. And then around the bumpers, they've been getting the snook and an oddball little tarpon. You know, daytime fishing, haven't had any good reports at all, or bad reports. I just haven't had a report, actually, for day fishing off of there. And it should be good, but can't say for sure. It's one of those cool spots, but I like stopping there when I'm going to Stump Pass, and I like stopping there on my way back from Stump Pass just to check it out because it changes so drastically day or nighttime.
Remember we took the boats up there that when they were stopped
that was cool.
Potts restaurant, Potts somebody I think.
Yeah.
Had Grouper Rubens.
Yeah.
Had one the other day. Wasn't as good as the last time I was there. I'm still going to go back and eat another one. But because I've had two great ones, one really good one and one okay one there. So that's still really good odds.
Yeah.
But you can pull up right by the, up to the dock. I will say one thing I noticed is, let's remember, boys and girls, there's more than just us on the water. Other people want to do it too, especially around lunchtime at some of these restaurants and stuff. if you're pulling up to the dock, don't just pull up and tie up. Pull your boat up and walk it as far to the end of the dock as you can. Let the nose stick out a little past the dock and allow room for other boats to be tied up. I watched a couple boats, they just pulled up kind of right in the middle of the dock and tied off and didn't leave enough room on
any side of them for anybody to really do anything with.
Yeah, there was enough room for one boat behind them. You could have easily fit three or four boats there, but because of the way the first guy tied up his boat, it kind of left out other people, and people were kind of coming up, looking at it, trying to figure out how they could get in there. And it's just not fair. We all want to go to eat. We all want to do that. Let's leave a little room for all of us, you know? So when you come up to the dock, give the dock lines to, you know, your buddy, and just walk the boat towards the end of the dock, tie off, and, you know, so you got to walk a few feet further to get to the restaurant. So what? You're there. You're on the boat. You're having fun.
Yeah. How tough is life?
Yeah. Let's kind of slide over for everybody else. Let's make room. There's plenty of room for everybody. If those of us who get there first ease over a little bit for the ones coming up behind us, you know, it's the right thing to do. Okay, here's where I got to do a lot of typing. The Gulf of Mexico, reefs and wrecks. Now, nobody's been out there for days and days and days. 20, 30 mile an hour winds, 15 mile an hour winds. All right, fingers are poised. I can't crack my knuckles. I keep trying, but I can't really do it. So just a few finger exercises.
We'll just pretend.
All right, I'm ready.
Kingfish. A lot of kingfish. I mean, from 3 to 20 miles out, but any of the nearshore wrecks right now have got kingfish on them. I'm hearing good reports literally from Tampa down to Captiva Pass. There's also been a few mixed good-sized cobia out there mixed in with those kingfish. Spanish mackerel. It was such a beautiful weekend that a ton of people went out there and had a blast. And that water temperature is still warm enough where those nearshore reefs have still got cudas on them. So like Trembly and the Powerpole Reef, some of those guys that are trolling around and actually hooking up with some of the even decent-sized kings are getting eaten by the barracudas.
Right.
A little frustrating, but still neat to see, you know, National Geographic moment going on. The only weird part is I didn't hear much for snapper or grunts or anything, but the red grouper and gag grouper, I've heard some phenomenal reports on those. Gags have kind of moved in a little bit closer, or just because of the lack of pressure out there. 8 miles to 20 miles on the gags, some 30, 35 inch red grouper at about, how am I doing? 15 to 30 miles out, just a good array of stuff happening out there. It's been pretty impressive. The weird part is nobody's really talking about a ton of bait out there. They were prior to the blow and a few small pods of bait, but nobody's really talking about thread fins or white bait out there. They're just so trolling around and getting into the kings blindly, which is kind of cool.
Now, is it lures or are they pulling?
Most of the guys are pulling lures. They're trolling the 15 and 16 bombers. And a handful of guys are running spoons on planers, like a number one planer, and doing exceptionally well. But most of them have just been trolling this, you know, that 15, 16 bomber where they're diving down 6-10 feet down. And I think it's just because of the lack of pressure out there. You don't have to get super technical.
Right.
You know, those fish have been not harassed at all for literally, 4 weeks?
Almost six.
You know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, well, you figure there's been almost 4 weeks of high wind, and then we had a few days we could get out there, and then there was all those storms and the rain and the wind, and then you had a few days to get out there. This year has just been not conductive to being in the Gulf.
No,
the weather's
not at
just
all.
Been crazy. All right, let's do the passes. Anything up in Venice?
I haven't heard anything from Venice.
All right. Stump Pass.
Stump Pass, white, bigger whiting are starting to move in really good there. A few mixed sheep's head also. Most of the snook have kind of migrated in with, you know, there's always an incidental one there. but guys are catching pound and a quarter, pound and a half whiting off of there.
Okay.
Pretty exciting.
Little Gasparilla Pass?
Little Gasparilla Pass had some pompano in it pretty heavy on Thursday and Friday. I haven't heard anything back today over the as far as how the weekend went, but they were definitely excited about the pompano activity. Nothing else that I've heard of there, just mainly down south.
Okay, Redfish?
Redfish Pass, nothing that I heard of, but Captiva Pass.
Yeah.
Some gag grouper, some nice mangrove snapper, been a few big bull reds, once again, big whiting, and a few incidental sheep's head. And that's almost a mirror image of what Boca Grande has had, with the exception of a handful of guys have caught a couple kings trolling through there with some Spanish mackerel also. So, you know, been pretty good. You know, it's beautiful weather. A lot of guys kind of trolled through there as they were coming in and going out and picking up some oddball stuff. And then you got the guys who just are a little apprehensive about going offshore, but still took advantage of the nice weather and being able to drift those passes. Which is always nice to hear, because it's always cool when guys can admit that, I don't feel quite comfortable enough going out there. I know it's beautiful, but I'll stick closer to home.
Yeah, but that's just being smart.
It is. But how many guys are that?
I'm a guy. The wife is walking through now, and she can tell you I'm smart probably at least 2-3% of the time. I would say that would be a pretty close guesstimate. I mean, I get at least 2-3% of the time where I make pretty good decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, if you're going to walk along the beach somewhere out there, and anything you could catch, how's the red tide? Is it kind of scattered up down the coast, or is it just kind of in the Port Charlotte area?
Nothing in the Port Charlotte area. Most of it, you know, the little bits that were there were...
I misspoke. Englewood, Placida areas.
Placida and Gasparilla Sound is where it seems to be a little bit more concentrations of it. And that might be there again, why I haven't heard anything over the weekend.
Right.
That makes perfect sense. I kind of forgot that.
What about 17th Street?
I would be fishing the lighthouse right there at First Street all the way down to Boca Grande, because there's been some good whiting there. A few oddball bonnet heads, incidental sheep's head here and there, some pompano. It seems to get a little bit better as you get closer towards Boca Grande Pass for other mixed variety of stuff. There's been some Spanish mackerel moving in casting distance.
All right. If you're down Captiva, Cayo Costa, Sanibel.
I would say that probably, you know, Captiva, like right there on the south end of Cayo Costa, would probably be pretty good, especially for those big whiting.
You've got all those Spanish mackerel, flounder, snook, the pompano.
There's been some pompano and a few incidental flounder, but I haven't heard good reports on the flounder. It's been a bizarre fall. Usually we're hearing much, much better reports of flounder. One guy creams them, 10 other guys don't catch a thing, so it's been a little unusual. You know, it's...
Right.
I don't get it. Even our Cito guy, what's his name? Crap.
All right.
He loves to do that flounder stuff.
Let's speak specifically of Punarassa Sanibel. Anything going on down there?
Honestly, it's just been night fishing. A lot of guys doing well on snook and still a few tarpon right there at the Sanibel Causeway itself. The gentleman fished the docks right there at Punarassa. He caught some small, little, tiny snook, but he said it was... very quiet compared to what he's used to for this time of year. You know, overall, there should be Spanish there too, even in that main channel, but I haven't heard any good reports on that.
All right, we'll jump up to Matlachet.
Matlachet, a lot of redfish down there. Not giant big ones, but in that 20 to 25 inch range. And guys have been doing really good, exceptionally well on shrimp and pinfish. Getting a few more reports of all the juvenile tarpon that are actually starting to move into those Cape Coral canals, but there's still quite a few fish right at the mouths of them, too. So a good little mixed bag. Matlachet, small snook. Okay. Haven't heard of anything worthwhile.
All right, we'll jump around to the outside. We know the red tide's affecting that northern end. How's it doing in the Pine Island Sound area? Just to the south of there.
Down there by the fish shacks and Captiva Rocks, a good mixed variety of stuff. Guys are drifting those flats and getting some Spanish mackerel, a few little tiny, what I would call snapper bluefish. Been a couple small bonnet heads and a couple black tips in there. Trout, a few redfish along the bushes and along Captiva Rocks, that big sandbar there. I've heard of two flounder off of there with a guy that was wade fishing there the other day while catching the reds and some few trout. The snook have moved in. What's that cut that goes behind the shacks heading towards Pine Island?
Oh, I don't remember.
I forget those little island names right there, but there's been quite a few snook and some mangrove snapper underneath all those deeper cuts on those bushes there, because some of those bushes are, what, 6-7 feet deep underneath them in some of those spots. So kind of a mixed bag. You know, as you move north, it's like you said, the red tide's been incidental through there up towards Mondongo and Yuseppa. So
right.
Most of the guys are going that south part.
All right, well, that's where we're going right now, Boquilla, Jug Creek. Do you think they're seeing the red tides hitting there, Boquilla, Jug Creek?
It's been a little bit. You know, the bait fish that were there have kind of either moved out or dead. But a couple guys did hook a couple Spanish mackerel while fishing right through there. And a couple of small trout and an oddball redfish. But I don't think that red tide's strong enough to last very long. So I think it'd be worth definitely going over there and checking out, because that place is usually pretty fishy this time of year. I would definitely not disregard it because of what's going on or what people are kind of seeing out there.
Okay. Well, that's going to take us over to Burnt Store Two Pines, and I don't think anything's happening there outside of catching fish.
Yeah. No, there's nothing really affecting it too much. It has slowed down a little bit, though, you know, because there was a lot of guys that were fishing out of the Burnt Store area that now are fishing over on the west wall.
Right.
So, on the flip side, you might be fishing by yourself and actually have one of those banner days because nobody's there to bother you.
Right. Everybody's over with Carl on the other side.
The redfish have been scattered from the sandbar all the way up to the bushes, so I would blind cast all the little troughs, the sand holes, work a shrimp on a jig head, work it real slow. That Miradine has been crushing it over there. A couple of the wade fishermen have been having a blast catching some trout, the redfish, few snook. One guy hooked about a 100-pound tarpon there on Thursday. He said it was only about 3 feet of water, and it scared the daylights out of him when it launched into the air. That's always fun to hear stuff like that, you know, because it would make my heart skip a beat. But the fishing's been good over there. It's just not on fire. But very well worth checking out because of the lack of traffic, which is good.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I just kind of ran out a little bit.
Yeah, no, you did good. Now we're going to go Pirate Harbor North. What's going on?
Right at the mouth of Pirate Harbor, some guys got into some really good pompano on Thursday and Saturday, both. And they were fishing right at the very entrance of Pirate Harbor. They didn't get too much inside, but did real good there. And then I'm getting some good reports of redfish and snook around all the little islands, even out on the flats a little bit. There's been some good mangrove snapper finally starting to move back in there on those flats, so guys are catching those as bycatch while messing with the other stuff. A handful of guys have been drifting just on the outside edge of the bar on the east side, especially right there by Cormorant Key, catching a few bigger trout, not a lot, but a few bigger trout. One guy hooked two short cobia while doing that, so been some pretty good activity over there. You know, it's not bad at all.
Okay, now, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's been honestly pretty quiet for what it should be this time of year. A couple guys catching some redfish and pompano right at the very entrance, but that's all I've heard about. It's been super quiet in there. I think this cold front will start to move some better fish in there.
Alright, Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon, some bigger mangrove snapper moved in there this week. a few more sheep's head, which are just the resident sheep's head moving around in there and kind of congregating up in little schools. A few snook, mullet have been running through there in pretty good numbers, so some bigger jacks have been kind of right on their tails. Even been a few bigger bull reds mixed in underneath those mullet chasing them or chasing all the bait that the mullet tend to scare up. The only thing I haven't heard about there was black drum. I didn't get any reports of black drum at Ponce itself this week.
What about back in the PGI canal systems?
That's where the black drum are at. there's been some really big black drum. A lot of guys this past week talking about them hanging out on their snook lights. Lots of little snook and some big black drum hanging out on their snook lights. There's also been quite a few juvenile tarpon in there. I'm sure you've been getting at least several phone calls a day on how to catch the little buggers. And then getting some better reports on some mangrove snapper moving around in there. Had a guy catch a 14.5-incher off of his dock, and he was just elated. He's never caught one that big before, ever.
A what?
14.5-inch mangrove.
Wow.
Yeah. He's used to catching them like 8 to 10. I think he said his biggest one was like 11 inches, and that was barely 11 inches. So he was pretty excited about that. He said that was going to make a nice little meal for him and his wife. But he had to show me his picture. He was like super excited.
All right. Swinging around over there, Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest Pier, I've heard of a few jacks actually this week and a couple of whiting. It's been fairly quiet there the last several weeks, but getting a few more reports, so that tells me things are changing a little bit better. It's kind of nice.
All right. Alligator Creek Reef, jumping back out in the middle of the harbor.
Been some Spanish mackerel cruising around it. A couple short cobia. I've gotten a few more reports of some mangrove snapper. Now that the wind's laid down, a few guys were actually trying to fish it. A handful of legal-sized gags were caught off of it this past week. And I've had three little bull sharks caught off of there, and one gentleman hooked one that was about 8 foot because a school of ladyfish moved up right next to that north. He was on the very northern end by one of the pilings. And he said all of a sudden all around him all these ladyfish started erupting and hooked that big shark. Didn't last very long, but he said it was right in there with those ladyfish having a good time. So definitely starting to get more activity there.
Cool. All right. Now with the reef doing well, any word from the deep holes in the harbor?
Mostly Spanish mackerel. A handful of guys drifting out there, both with live bait and just kind of trolling their spoons and some of their hard baits, getting a couple bigger Spanish mackerel. One guy said he saw a king free jump out there. Very, very possible, but I haven't heard of anyone hooking any yet, which every year somebody does catch one randomly, and it's usually a big one. But other than that, not a whole lot. It's been fairly quiet in the bottom part of it.
All right. Any reports of bait anywhere? Pinfish, white bait, anything?
There was a bunch of white bait from Marker 5 all the way through the intercoastal, but that little patches of red tide kind of moved it around. There's been sporadic patches of glass minnows and small thread fins moving through the 20-foot holes, which is why those Spanish mackerel have been around. But nothing really to get excited about right now.
Any pinfish anywhere?
The pinfish I've been hearing about were right there off of Boquilla on those deeper sand flats and the grass flats there, those two big sandbars. Guys have been getting them there in like 6 to 8 feet of water. The guys have been buying so many shrimp lately because it's working so much better that fewer and fewer guys are wanting to throw the net. It's getting to that time of year where it's time to start really looking at that. Or even occasionally using some of the cut up stuff. That cut mullet and that cut sardines usually starts to produce really well when that water temperature gets in the low 70s for a wide variety of stuff.
All right. Now, to freshwater stuff. What's going on freshwater-wise? Crappies, bluegills, bass, anything?
Crappie have been incidental catches, but a lot of guys have been trying to find some crappie. And they're picking up some good hand size and better bluegill. 9 Mile Canal. A couple guys did well on some big bluegill and a few bass down there at TGA at that little park down there. And then the canals up there in Northport, like off of Price Road and Raintree, places like that, the bass fishing has been better. I had a guy come back twice to pick up shiners, and that's where he was fishing back there. He didn't catch any giant bass, but he said he caught quite a few in that 2 to 4 pound range. So it is starting to get a little bit more active. Had a couple guys in here buying frogs earlier today because they've been doing well in the Port Charlotte canals behind their house, throwing those in the evening. Said that full moon last night really got those fish fired up. He lost one to an alligator, though, so that's why he had to come back and get more. I think we sell quite a few bobbers and frogs for alligator incidentals.
Yeah, I've been here 32, 33 years, something like that. And the guy was in here the other day saying, well, you know, I had the fish on the line, and all of a sudden I was fighting him, and next thing you know, there's other fish came up and cut the line off. And I said, well, I've been, you know, attending fish schools for all these years, trying to teach them that if, you know, their buddy gets caught, all you have to do is come over and bite the line and set your other buddy free, you know, working as a team to overcome this. And I get to sell more lures.
Exactly.
You know, so I said, you know, I guess all that training I've been doing with these fish or have been working off, you know, so if you see your buddy hooked up on a lure, you just come in and bite the leader off, and, you know, that way he gets to swim off, you know. I said, training these fish has paid off. I'm selling more lures now than ever. So anyway, that was, you know, that's how that ended. But is there anything we forgot to talk about? Too much stuff I did talk about. I went on a rant that was embarrassing. I should not rant like that. But, you know, I get so tired of people saying, well, what do you mean about this? What do you mean about that? Sometimes I like to be emphatic and say, this is the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, but it's passionate. I mean, you haven't been doing this 32 years because you're going to buy an island and retire somewhere.
God, in my dreams.
Exactly. Yeah. But you do this because you're passionate about it. I do this because I'm passionate about it, you know. And
we always said if this job paid better, it'd be the perfect job.
It would, you know. And we've got to look out for our resources. We've got to look out for all this stuff. I mean, we have made tens of thousands of memories in the years we've both been here. And we want to see more and more people do that. And so sometimes you have to go on a tangent to get it into people's minds. And it's not because they're necessarily ignorant, but people get so instant gratification and right now that they don't think about what about from now. You know,
and I really don't believe they understand why.
Well, absolutely.
Levels, high stress, low oxygen. These are not good things, not for humans, not for animals, not for anything. And trying to make people understand, but sometimes, you know, and we go on in these fishing reports for like an hour, and things can kind of get lost in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, to digress, you know, I apologize for being mean and rude, but sometimes I am, and I can't help it. I try to be a good person, but, you know, then I show up. But we're going to be at the Fort Myers Boat Show. And you come down, we've got a huge display of tackle. We got reps from Shimano, Quantum, I think Accurate. I think Redbone's going to be there. We have this huge, it's a huge, huge show in the Fort Myers Boat Show this year. It's a real tackle show inside of the boat show. And that's all at the Fort Myers Boat Show.
Along with seminars that are going to be talking with special guests.
We have fishing
guests.
Seminars going on all day. Lots of captains, lots of factory people to talk to. Specials, deals, and discount. Akuma's going to be there. Savage Lure's going on special. Gary from Penn will be there. Everybody loves Gary. You can't not. I think Star Rods is coming down for a day.
Nice.
There's so many people coming. I mean, we've got so many people, reps and factory people and all this. It's really turning into a great little tackle show inside of the boat show. And it is the largest boat show in South Florida. And if you show up and you've heard this, you're obviously one of the people that I really want to come down. And we have 15% off holiday cards. So all you have to do is come down and
you can use them in both stores, the North or the South.
You can use them in the Port Charlotte store or the North Fort Myers store. And you just come down and say, hey, can I get one of the cards? Otherwise, people who buy stuff, or if you just come up and we're not handing them out to random strangers. We are handing them out to people that we talk to, enjoy fishing, because our prices are pretty good the way they are. We don't use a lot of markup on the stuff, and 15% off is a pretty good deal compared from our regular prices, yeah, which are actually
better than most.
Pretty good. And then, you know, to get 15% off, that's a pretty good deal. And it's on one purchase. So
make it count.
Yeah, the reason I did it was, like I said, this year, election years are notoriously tough on people for as far as business. People don't, you know, big businesses, companies, they don't want to spend money. They don't want to build buildings. They don't want to put up houses. They don't, you know, people want, they don't like change. And this year was, God, could you get any weirder or crazier? But with the weather and everything else, a lot of people in the restaurant industry, the fishing industry, everybody's
been affected in some way, shape, or form.
Everybody's been affected a little bit, and we've had you know, a little less tourists down here this year, so the holidays are coming right up.
You know who hasn't been affected by this?
Who's that?
The news media.
The news media, right? I mean, TV stations,
they profited
and radio
very,
stations,
very well.
If I could have got some of that Democratic Party money for all those ads, they said. What they said, they spent like $2 billion?
Something crazy.
Why couldn't I have got some of that for radio fishing? I would have done that. I mean, I don't care if I agree with them or disagree with them. Give me some of that money.
Yeah, no kidding.
$2 billion? Are you kidding me? You could have rebuilt a state for that.
Yeah.
It was, oh, God. So, anyway, coming back into this, it is a 15% discount. It does expire, I think, on December 31st.
Yeah, I think so.
So you can
trying to remember in my
yeah,
head.
You can get it now. And if you want some stuff, you're getting stuff for people for Christmas. I didn't do the expiration date until December 31st. It is something to try and help people get a little discount off on, 15% off on your holiday buying.
Right.
You know, I'm not telling you, you know, please come down and buy some stuff here. I'm saying when you do your holiday shopping, please think of us. This will help. It's 15% off, and because it's been a tough year. And I've never, ever done anything like this.
No.
Ever. But I had a tough year. I mean, between my health, doctor bills, no health insurance, opening a new store, windy days, rainy days. I mean, we've had a tough year. There's no doubt about it. And I got thinking about how hard my year was on me, and I thought, you know, I bet you a lot of other people are having that problem. And so we're going to make a little less money, but maybe this will help. And I just wanted to say thank you, everybody, for staying with us and helping us out. And this is for your holiday shopping, and that's why I did it. I didn't do it because I want you to grab the gift certificate and run down and buy something. No, if you're trying to buy your husband or your wife a new fishing pole or something, you can save a little money.
Absolutely.
And it's good on anything except bait or fishing licenses, basically. Right. So, you know, whether you're buying lures or whatever, but it's only good for one purchase. So, you know, think if you want to kind of consolidate some stuff so you can actually, you know, makes it more worthwhile. And I just want to say thank you to everybody out there. This is, God, it's November.
It's crazy.
I'm not sure where the year went. I mean,
we blinked and it was gone.
You know, we're going to have to do some of that. But, I mean, boy, what a weird year. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, we're making it through, stumbling and bumbling and falling down and getting back up. But, you know, we're still here. You know, unfortunately for you guys, you're still listening to me rant and, go nuts like a lunatic. But, you know, it's just me. I've got a good side and I've got a bad side. I'm sadly and deficiently subhuman. But I try hard to be a good person.
Yes, you do.
All right. Fishing Frank in the chair here. This is Radio Fishing, a federal registered trademark of Fishing Frank. Another one of those federally registered trademarks. And that is Robert in the chair across from me, who doesn't even need a federal trademark because there is only one. There can only be one, the Robert. I mean, so me, I had to protect it because, you know. But
that's no why people want to follow you. They want to emulate you, and they always want to try to take you over.
No, what they want to do is shut me up so they don't have to listen to me anymore. So anyway, thank you, boys and girls. We will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye.